ability, does this section have anything to do with the law that was passed by Congress? Yes, it does. Let's make it very clear in the amendment that Section 8078 does not apply to union members, and that they will be considered local residents for the sake of Section 8078. So there's a direct relationship. And we're telling Congress that we don't agree with that particular letter of intent. And we're telling the Department of Defense, like the governor sent to him very clearly, we do have the trained and skilled people in this state, and we want them hired. I don't know if the governor even knew about this particular clause of the letter of intent when he made it clear to the Department of Defense, we want local hire to continue. He didn't say whether it's union or non-union. And as the gentleman from Spinard mentioned, this is not a union or non-union battle. And we don't want to make it a union or non-union battle. Those who entered this particular letter of intent from Washington and Oregon, they made it a union battle. Let's tell people we're not getting into that. We want Alaskans hired, people who love the state, people who live here, people who contribute to the economy, people who help our social welfare problem by being employed and not being forced on the unemployment roll because of seniority of some member that lives out of state. I think we should very clearly send a message we want two Alaskan hired.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number one be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
18 yeas, 22 nays.
Amendment number one has failed adoption. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution number 22 be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the motion to advance to third reading? Hearing no objection, will the clerk please read the title of that resolution for the third time?
House Joint Resolution 22 by Boyer, Donnelly, Porcheau, Brown, Davis, Grunberg, Wallace, Herman, Larson, Menard, and Schultz, relating to an agreement between the Department of Defense and the Alaska Department of Labor for enforcement of the Alaskan hire requirements of Section 8078 of the 1986 Defense Appropriations Act and subsequent acts, and urging the Congress to extend the resident hire provision through fiscal year 1988.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I spoke on the prior resolution and share my reservations concerning it. Conversely, Mr. Speaker, I have reviewed this resolution and I support its intent. For I think it is a proper function of this legislative body to ask for the continuation of a provision that has already been sought. We're well aware that there will be substantial dollars coming in to at least one of our communities in support of the 6th Infantry Division. And again, it is fitting and proper that this body interact with the national legislatures and the various departments and encouraging them to extend that provision to make those jobs available for Alaskans. And this is a lot different than asking the Congress to enact something. It's a lot different. So I support this and plan to vote for it.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Joint Resolution 22 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
39 yeas, 1 nay.
House Joint Resolution 22 has passed the House. We have some final action on the citation. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask unanimous consent that we briefly go down to unfinished business.
Down. Okay. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections.
Thank you. I would move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Barnes be excused from the call of the House the balance of today.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, Representative Barnes is excused immediately. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Joint Resolution number 19 and ask unanimous consent that that reconsideration be held over until next Monday.
Are there any objections? Okay, reconsideration will be held over until Monday's calendar. Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on House Joint Resolution 22 and ask that reconsideration be held over until Monday.
Okay, notice of reconsideration has been given on House Joint Resolution 19 and House Joint Resolution 22 for Monday's calendar. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have one citation on the calendar today, in memoriam Thane Curry. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House approve that citation.
Are there any objections as the adoption of the citation on today's calendar? Hearing no objection, that citation has been adopted. This brings us down to unfinished business. Any unfinished business to come before this body? Representative Sund.
Speaker, I'd bring up my reconsideration of committee substitute for House Bill 106, Finance.
Would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 106, Finance, amended by the Finance Committee, and act relating to the payment of criminal fines and restitution. I do have a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Sund.
Mr. Speaker, I believe the clerk has amendment number 4. I'm going to ask that I have permission to withdraw amendment number 4 from the body at this time.
If there are no objections, amendment number 4 has been withdrawn. The bill is before us in third reading. Representative Sun.
I believe there's amendment number 5.
Okay.
I do have an amendment number 5.
Okay. Well, this is an unusual procedure. As a rule, you move back to second reading and then mention the amendment, but make reference to amendment number 5.
I have a proposed amendment number 5 on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. Representative Sund. Representative Gull.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we return to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment, that being amendment number 5.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, a bill is before us in second reading. Representative Ulmer.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to offer amendment number 5. And ask unanimous consent that it be adopted.
Amendment number 5 has been moved with objections. Representative Palmer.
I might just speak to the amendment which is being offered. It is in an effort to clarify the difference between the judiciary version and the finance version and to try and be consistent with subsection A, which precedes these. Now, I understand that the members probably do not all have copies of CSHB 106, so I'll just take a moment to explain the sections that we are changing. The first portion of the amendment, page 1, line 20, where we are adding the language damages and injury to their victims. This is in a section of this bill that deals with what the court shall take into account when considering the amount and the method of payment of restitution. And the current language of the House Finance Committee version of this bill reads, public policy that favors requiring criminals to compensate for their actions. This amendment would delete the phrase for their actions and instead replace it with damages and injury to their victims. The point of this amendment is to clarify that the public policy associated with restitution is to compensate victims. And so the original judiciary version would have said requiring criminals to compensate their victims. The Finance Committee version said requiring criminals to compensate for their actions. And this version says requiring criminals to compensate for damages and injury to their victims. And it is with permission of the original sponsor of the legislation and the chair of the Judiciary Committee that I offer this. That is the first portion of this amendment. The second portion of the amendment, page 1, line 21, deletes the word others. Again, if I might read from the Finance Committee version, this section reads, financial burden placed on the victim and others as a result of the criminal conduct of the defendant. The concern which has been expressed here is that the term and others is too vague and uncertain. The language which is being proposed in my amendment, instead of saying others, it would say financial burden placed on the victim and those who provide services to the victim. This again is consistent with the earlier portion of this section, which talks about compensation to public, private, or private nonprofit organizations that has provided counseling, medical, or shelter services to the victim. So it is with an effort to clarify the language and to make it consistent with the earlier portion of this statute. I don't believe it changes any of the intent. Thank you.
Objections maintained on amendment number 5. Representative Rieger.
Mr. Speaker, I have a question on the amendment. Under the new wording under the second part of the amendment, those who provide services to the victim, am I to assume that that would include the services of a public defender?
Representative Ulmer.
Well, it is my intent to simply have this subsection, which again is underneath Section A, refer back to the services which are previously expressly indicated as being those which can be compensated for. That language is to a public, private, or private nonprofit organization that has provided counseling, medical, or shelter services to the victim, or as otherwise authorized by law. So I guess what I'm saying is it depends upon whether or not any other entity would be otherwise authorized by law by either this body or judicially imposed by the court that is reviewing the particular case.
Representative Gull.
Thank you, and I think it's clear that the services of the public defender are being offered to the offender, not to the victim, and that this could not possibly be interpreted that way, at least in the understanding of the sponsors of the amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we allow Representative Hudson to be excused from a call of the House today for an engagement.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objection, Representative Hudson is excused from the call of the House. Representative Collins.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to ask a question with regard to deleting the word others. And I'm wondering if, in doing so, we would be excluding family members from being reimbursed for items that they might have provided, such as, you know, money or whatever. I know that I work with some of these people because of the nature of the work that I do. And very often the first people to step in are family members who will provide money or provide childcare or provide food or whatever. And I would certainly hope that by deleting the word others that we're going to preclude family members to from being reimbursed for any expenses that they might have incurred helping the victim. And I'd like that clarified, if you will, please.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer my friend from District 10, the private persons who contribute money to the victim are not covered by the bill now. I would respectfully refer you to line 12. And the only people who can get restitution are the victim himself or public, private, or private nonprofit organizations. So that would be a major change in the entire bill, and it has nothing to do with the amendment.
Are there objections to amendment number 5? Representative Taylor.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I may not be procedurally correct on this, but I would like the opportunity, if we could, so as to limit the debate and to move on with this process, to divide the question, if we might, between the first section amended, page 1, line 20, and the second section, page 1, line 21, and I would move that.
The question is divisible. The question is divisible.
Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? In Amendment 5, shall that section pertaining to page 1, line 20, be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
38 yeas, no nays.
The amendment part of 5, page 1, line 20 has been adopted. Is there any discussion on page 1, line 21? Representative Taylor.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I would move to amend the amendment to read as follows. After the word and, delete others, striking the remainder of the words on the page.
Does the representative have that before the clerk?
I do not. It's before everyone right now on their desk, and I thought it was fairly simple. They could probably understand it without having to rewrite it out.
Does the clerk have that?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Representative Taylor, would you repeat the amendment, please?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Or the amendment to the amendment.
The amendment would read as follows, page 1, line 21, after, quote, and, delete, quote, others, period.
Mr. Majority Leader, would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we have an amendment to the amendment in relation to page 1, line 21. Is there any debate on the amendment to the amendment? Representative Taylor?
Just a few remarks, Mr. Speaker. I had the opportunity and privilege for 6 years of my life to enforce restitution sentencing. I participated with members of this body and the other body in 1978 to secure passage of legislation that would allow judges in this state to make restitutionary sentences. In 6 years, over 80% of the sentences that I handed down were restitutionary sentences, as it was always my goal, if at all possible, to make the victim whole. The reason that I have asked that the question be divided and that the this amendment be placed here is to focus the attention of the judiciary on the victim. And I think that's crucial. To detract from that by the language itself would speak to for damages caused to others. The criminal act did not cause damages to others. It caused damages to the victim. And the victim is the one that needed the help. And to the extent that that victim was helped, that victim needs to be recompensed. That victim needs to have the money necessary to reimburse the hospital medical staff and to reimburse those other parties that have charged for various services. And to try to extend it beyond that confuses the issue and deludes the rights of the victim, in my opinion, in an attempt, I think, for another cause that I also support very strongly, Mr. Speaker, and that is the funding and financing of various shelter groups. I have fought hard for that in my district. I believe very strongly in it. It's one of those crucial safeguards that we have to have out there. But to confuse these two together does not help either party, and in fact may detract from the very purposes we're trying to accomplish. That's the only reason I've offered this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gould.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think confused is the right word, and I'm sure by now the public is not confused, and I hope the members of this body are also not confused. There's nothing in this amendment, as written by the member to my left from Juneau, which would lead to damages being paid for damages caused to others. That was the phrase just used. Passage of this amendment to the amendment would simply prohibit payment to those public and other institutions which incur costs in making the victim whole. The purpose of the bill, the purpose of the amendment, is to ensure that in making the victim whole, the costs which are incurred are paid, not just the costs which are charged to the victim, but the actual costs. Thank you.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this was a simple bill. It attempted to get people who commit violent acts against others to pay for the damages that they have caused. This bill has been bantered about, and it is my feeling as prime sponsor that if it is the Red Cross that provides a cup of coffee to the victim, then let's allow that coddled criminal to pay for that as well. I think that when we continue to allow people to commit crime and acts of violence on others, we are not making that person, or we are not forcing that person to learn to pay for his mistake. And I feel that it is part of the cost of making the victim whole, even if it's a cup of coffee. Thank you.
Representative Ulmer.
Mr. Speaker, I would urge the members of this body to defeat the amendment to the amendment and request that they consider the language of the bill before us. In determining the amount and method of payment of restitution, the court shall take into account, and then we have one, two, and three. And what we're talking about here is the financial burden placed on the victim. That's the first person that the court considers. This amendment, which I offer, does not take that away. It simply says to the victim and to those who provide services to the victim. And I think that is the public policy which the representative from Kodiak was speaking to just a moment ago. It doesn't in any way diminish what is being paid to the victim. It simply adds additional payments to that amount. And so I would urge the members to defeat the amendment to the amendment and to adopt my amendment. Thank you.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I feel somewhat deja vu. We've considered this issue once, I believe this week. Mr. Speaker, it's been said on this floor, I think we're dividing the interest, we're dividing the question. The question should be on the victim. How do we make the victim whole? And as the legislation is currently written, at least that principal focus is upon the victim. Mr. Speaker, the amendment to the amendment addresses that. It stops it right there. It says victim. And Mr. Speaker, by considering the amendment as offered by the good representative from Juneau, we're shifting that. We're shifting it again to those services or those persons who provide service. I think that's wrong. The principal focus should be with the amendment provided by the representative from Ketchikan to the victim. And that's where our interest should lie.
Question. Ready for the question. The question is, shall the amendment to the amendment of amendment number 5 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk, Representative Boucher. From yea to nay, does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
10 yeas, 28 nays.
The amendment to the amendment has failed adoption. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 5 be adopted. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
34 yeas, 4 nays.
Amendment Number 5 has been adopted. The bill is back before us in third reading. Am I ready for the question?
Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 106, Finance Amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
37 yeas, 1 nay.
Committee substitute for House Bill 106, Finance Amended, has passed the House on reconsideration.
We are still under unfinished business. Any further unfinished business to come before this body? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have several requests for excused absence. We have Representative Barnes from Thursday, April 16 at 3 p.m. to Tuesday, April 21 at Plain Time. Representative Cotton from Thursday, March 26 at 5 p.m. to Monday, March 30 at Plain Time. And Representative Donnelly twice, from Thursday, April 16 at 5 p.m. to Tuesday, April 21 at Plain Time, and again from 5 p.m. Friday, May 1 to Plain Time, Monday, May 4, and Representative Frank to be excused all day, Friday, March 27. And as long as we're dealing with excused absences, it is our policy generally if a member is in town and not ill, that we will not excuse that member from the call of the House, notwithstanding what happened in the confusion and my inexperience today.
Okay. Are there any objections by any member here of those members that are seeking to be excused from the call of the House? Hearing no objections, the members named by the Majority Leader are excused from the call of the House. And basically, what we're saying here is if you're in Juneau here, you cannot be excused from the call of the House unless you are ill. You take your chances and you can work with the Majority Leader and the Minority Leader and we can work something out maybe, but nothing guaranteed. Any further unfinished business? Announcements, standing committees, special committees. Representative Ulmer.
The State Affairs Committee will not be meeting in 102 at 3 p.m. this afternoon, but rather in the House Finance Committee. We will be taking up both the personal income tax, the permanent fund earnings bill, and also the Commission on the Future of the Permanent Fund. And because we have a number of economists in town to discuss the question of whether or not any of these proposals will have a significant impact on the Alaska economy, I would invite all of the members who are interested in this issue to please join us at 3 o'clock in the House Finance Committee room. Thank you.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Wallace.
The Military and Veterans Affairs Finance Subcommittee on Disaster Planning and Controlled Disaster Relief Fund will meet tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. Capitol 519. Thank you.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Finance Subcommittee on HB 83 and 84, which deal with the balance, current balances in the permanent fund dividend account, will meet this afternoon, 3:30, in Capitol Room 120.
Any general announcements? Representative Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In keeping with our relatively new tradition of half birthdays, today belongs to our Majority Leader. And also, Representative Ulmer and I would like to invite members of this body to join us for a brown bag lunch with the Tourism Working Group in the State Affairs Room immediately following.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have actually two announcements, but they're related. The first one is that the House staff basketball team played a very fine game last night and has reason to hold their heads high. The second announcement is that we can hold ours, the members of the legislative basketball team, we can hold ours a little higher because they played us and we won.
Any further announcements? Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to give everyone an announcement here a week ahead of time so that they can be there on time. But the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee will meet next Thursday, April the 2nd, at 12 p.m. in the House Finance Room.
Any further announcements? Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to remind the members from Anchorage that we will have an Anchorage caucus meeting tomorrow in the Governor's Conference Room. We will be meeting with the university and the community college to review their budget. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask members to retain their bill packets on House Bill 124, which will be under reconsideration on Friday, and House Joint Resolutions 19 and House Joint Resolution 22, which will be under reconsideration on Monday. Also, the Rail Belt Democrats will be meeting their usual brown bag lunch Friday noon in Labor and Commerce. And we have been invited, members of the legislature have been invited to a reception in an open house tomorrow, that's March 26, Thursday, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. in K2, which is at 224 4th Street in Juneau.
Representative Ellis.
Mr. Speaker, the tourism luncheon has been canceled and will be rescheduled.
Let's skip over special orders today. Are there any special orders? Mr. Majority? Oh, yes, there is. Excuse me. Representative Ulmer.
I would request permission of the body to just spend a moment of silence on the death of a seven-year-old boy of Juneau yesterday. If I might just speak to that very briefly. Stefan John Sorinsky died yesterday afternoon as a result of an accidental electrocution. He was a first grader at Capitol School and a classmate of my son. And I would simply request that this body spend a moment in silence to express our sympathy to the parents and family of Stefan and to reflect on the value of our children in our society.
Would the members please remain silent for a few minutes? Okay, we are back under special orders. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the body stand in adjournment till 10 a.m. Friday.
10 a.m. Friday.